Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I suppose that many of us are familiar with the advertising slogan of the Hallmark greeting card company that says, "When you care enough to send the very best." Well, their implication is that when you really care for the person to whom you're sending a card, you want them to know how much you care, and you will send them the very best card available, which, of course, to them is the Hallmark card. It was once suggested to me that their slogan could serve as a fairly accurate commentary on what God has done for mankind. God cares for us, and He has sent us something, or rather someone, for man's benefit. And He sent the very best. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Philippians 2 and verse 7. In the small city of Bethlehem, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And in this fashion, God sent His Son into the world to save man. Scripture makes the dogmatic and unmistakable claim that Jesus is the Son of God and that He was sent by God. Repeatedly, the book of John makes this proclamation. And for the sake of time, we will only cite just a few. In John chapter 5, verse 22 through 24, "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." In John the 6th chapter, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." In John chapter 7, "Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both knew me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." Well, this kind of assertion is also found in other chapters in the book of John. Passage after passage, Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was sent of the Father. This is the truth that Jesus taught about himself. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, Jesus is called the apostle and high priest of our profession. Now, an apostle is one sent. God's will was done through him. When one accepts Christ, he accepts the Father. There is no acceptance of one separate from the acceptance of the other. The only way one can do the will of God is to do the will of Jesus Christ, his Son, John 14:6. Now, this is the message that our world needs to hear and to know and to heed. The Father not only sent the Son, but was with the Son in all that he said and did. Jesus has since returned to the Father who sent him. In John 16 and verse 5, "Behold, I go my way to him that sent me." Now, in sending Jesus, God showed his love and care for mankind. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Notice he sent his only begotten Son. He did not send an angel, nor simply return to the earth one of the great persons of the past. No heavenly host would suffice. He sent the very best. With fair and honest people, there should never again be the contention that the Bible speaks of anything other than the deity of Christ, and that he was just merely a man and nothing more, just one of the prophets or merely a great teacher. He was all these things, but he was and is the divine Son of God. If we do not believe that biblical message, we make Jesus a liar, for that was his claim. And if he was a liar, why should anyone admire and honor him in any way? And after Jesus accomplished his task on earth, he ascended into heaven, Acts 1, 9-11. God was not through sending, however. God sent another, John chapter 14, verse 26, who was the Holy Spirit. And why did God send the Holy Spirit? Jesus said he would comfort, he would teach, he would bring to the remembrance of the apostles what Jesus had taught them. In sending the third person of the Godhead, which consists of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the very best of excellency and deity was with man. And God also sent forth the apostles of Christ that he had chosen. In John 13 and verse 20, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. In John 17:18, As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. John 20 and verse 21, Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Friend, to receive the apostles, and you do this by receiving the message they preached, is to receive God. Matthew 10 and verse 40, He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Receive in these instances is in the sense of believing and obeying him. Whereas Christ and the Holy Spirit are deity and without imperfections, the apostles were mere men, earthen vessels, with sin and weaknesses, albeit inspired of God. Paul said, We also are like men of like passions with you, Acts 14:15. Their greatness was not in themselves, but in the apostolic doctrine, in which the early church continued steadfastly, Acts 2, verse 42. Their greatness was in their use of the keys of the kingdom that Jesus gave, Matthew 16. The fact that they were inspired of the Holy Spirit, speaking as the Spirit gave them utterance, and that their message came from divine revelation, that is the reason for their greatness. What they taught came not from themselves, nor from other men, but from God. They were sent by the Father. And so thus far we have seen how God sent his only begotten Son, God sent the Holy Spirit, God sent the apostles with the proclamation of the Word of God as revealed through Jesus Christ. The message they preached, being sent from God, is the very best. The good news, the gospel, the only message of hope and forgiveness and redemption and salvation for mankind. Their message was all sufficient to furnish man completely unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. And it would make man whole and complete in the sight of his Creator and Judge. Truly God has cared enough to send the very best. But how much do we care about God and what he has done? We sing songs of praise to his name and glorify him in worship. Our words are to be sacrifices of praise, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. It is, we trust, more than mere lip service. But do we really care? Well, let each examine himself in this matter. The Lord said to seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, Matthew 6:33. Do we do this? There can be none alongside of him, for he is to be first, Matthew 6:24. Do you show you care by the example you live before others, Matthew 5 and verse 16? Some evidently do not care too much about themselves or those around them or the will of God, or they would not live as they do. They would not refuse to obey the word. They would not hesitate to become Christians and live accordingly. Most so-called church people show that they care when it's convenient, but how many really care all the time? Let us apply the card slogan and engage in some self-examination, friend. Taking time to measure ourselves by the biblical standard, comparing our daily behavior and manner of life and our relationship to God and the church by what the Bible teaches. Do we care enough to send our very best to God? Let us ask if we care enough to worship our very best. Are we faithful in attendance at worship? Are we sincere in what we say and what we do at worship? While we all know that there is more to Christianity than what some call going to church, part of Christianity is worship. This is a part that too many neglect. Did you ever know a person who really cared for the things of God who was indifferent toward attending the worship assemblies? If one knows the teaching of the Bible, he would not dismiss this lightly. When we sing, do we do our very best? When we pray, is our prayer fervent and sincerely genuine? When we study, do we do so in order to learn the truth that we might make personal application? When we observe the Lord's Supper, is it with the understanding and reverence? Are we doing our best? Again, let each examine himself. And when we give, do we give our best, or does God get our leftovers? Do we plan our giving before our pleasures and luxuries and even the necessities? In the Bible, God's people gave of the first fruits. Their sacrifices were of the best animals, without spot or blemish. And in our work for the Lord, do we show that we're sending Him our very best? A Christian, of course, is a servant of God and his fellow man. We are to help the poor, care for the sick, lift up the fallen. We're to comfort the bereaved and encourage the distressed, as well as support the strong. These things are done by taking positive and definite action. Possibly we often overlook our fellow man because we're so involved with ourselves. But do we provide time and means that it takes to lend assistance, to make a visit, to deliver aid, to attend funerals, even send a card of concern and encouragement? Do we go about our work with the enthusiasm that it demands and deserves? We would not dare give our jobs, the way by which we earn our livelihood, our unconcern. Do we care to do the Lord's work the very best that we can? Do we care enough to study our very best? Those who truly study know that studying is exhausting. It's demanding of time and energy, and it's strenuous effort. Many have excused themselves, claiming a lack of capacity and ability, but this is not true. God intends for us to know the truth, and this takes study on our part. He does not ask what one cannot do. More often than not, people who do not study simply reflect unconcern, and they don't care enough to spend the effort. We can learn if we try. Ignorance of the Bible is frightening, because ignorance will destroy. Hosea 4 and verse 6. We cannot keep the soul spiritually alive and favorable before God by a once-a-week sermon injection. Many are not even taking spiritual milk, let alone growing toward taking meat. We need our classes. We need our private study. And it ought not be spasmodic and haphazard. Those who study are those who have an appetite, really hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And to not study reflects a lack of appetite for the bread of life. If we would only realize that faith and obedience and service all proceed from the knowledge of the Word, we would possibly be more likely to do our very best in this matter of study, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Well, the bottom line may be expressed like this. Do we care enough to do our very best? Even man's best is burdened with inadequacies and imperfections. But does God deserve less than our best? He cared enough to send the best. Shall we not heed the admonition of the hymn, "Give of your best to the Master"? Best you have is yourself, friend. Paul said when explaining the liberality of the churches in Macedonia, he said, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, "They first gave themselves." And how does one do this? He does this by obeying the commands of the gospel. He believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and repents of his sins. He confesses his faith in Christ and is baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Then rising to walk in newness of life as a new creature in Christ, he lives faithfully and loyally, realizing, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me." Now this is the way that we send God our very best. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.